So I'm Rob Benedict.
I'm Richard Speight.
That's right. And this is the Kings of Con podcast. And with us today, we have someone who, without whom there would be no Kings of Con.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was also laughing. You're like, somebody who, without whom.
Without whom.
If you have the playing card set.
It took you 45 minutes to get here today.
Actually, I've been here physically. I haven't been here digitally.
Right. That's true.
People have, the rare but valued playing card set of Kings of Con.
Right.
Producer Tina, right there from the playing card set.
I have it,
yeah. Tina Densmore Bell, everybody.
She's officially the third member of the squad. She's officially
That's right.
producer of Kings of Con, right. the podcast.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the Kings of Con.
Yeah. Robbie, I already see you have an emote going. Is that we're going with the emote?
It is indeed.
Are you caught up on the shows? Do you know what an emote is?
So I do. I think it's good I'm here because I'm adding some representation to those that can't drink tequila.
Ah, good. That's fair.
Yeah,
there are a tribe of people somewhere that can't drink tequila,
and I'm here for them. Okay, what? Rich, like they need someone too, so I'm here for those people. I've got my vodka soda,
nice,
in my Kings of Con season one glass.
Well,
if anyone's watching the video, they can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, do you have anything yet?
I've got a piping hot cup of coffee in my Wallowa Lake Lodge mug.
Attaboy.
It's a souvenir from Wallowa Lake Lodge, the very lodge that hosted the wedding party to my very wedding. Wallowa Lake Lodge.
Well, you know, for those of you that aren't watching the video, what we can see right now is Richard sipping his coffee in a room that's lit like a like an asylum.
I was going to say a prison cell.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a fancy prison cell. We've got his bunk bed, and then also behind, behind his right shoulder, we've got some sort of horse collection.
Do not forget this, my friend.
And a disco ball.
This is my This is my father-in-law's tiny car and horse collection. This is the bunk beds where all the because this is Grandma and Grandpa's house where all the boy, there's a couple of them. There's this. There's that.
Oh wow! It really is a cell.
There's Frank using the bunk beds, and there's Frank's school desk for his online schooling. I'm sitting at Fletcher's school desk.
Okay.
And it's just a lot of it's a high traffic area, so you know. For those who obviously wouldn't know what we did for the last 45 minutes, they sat and chatted while I tried to get this to work for myself in the cabin across where Rob and I've done many a podcast. It's worked fine, but somehow piling on the new audio system with Zoom.
It's a lot for
happening. It's a lot for DSL. I'll tell you that much. It's really pushing DSL, and I kid you not, next door is DSL. So,
dial up over there.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, Tina, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you again.
So happy to be here.
Good.
It is. I got to point out that for people watching the video, Rob and I've been doing the podcast 14 weeks now, 14 episodes. Rob looks pretty good. I look like I'm doing a proof of life video because I'm being held hostage somewhere in a basement. Tina looks fabulous. It's her first podcast and already she's well lit. She's rosy cheeked.
Like
the room's clean.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Well, just outside the door is all the stuff I pulled out of the office and threw into the hallway. So that it looks presentable.
I feel better.
Tyler allowed. And Tyler also did the lighting. So thank God I have.
You have a guy.
I have a guy.
You have a Tyler.
Lighting guy. Yeah, I have a Tyler.
You gotta
get
me a Tyler.
I need a Tyler.
Do you have any Tylers? If so, I'll have one.
Okay, Rich definitely needs a Tyler. So
I definitely need a Tyler. You have. Yeah. I also can point out that the collectibles on your shelf behind you are actually collectible, unlike the collectibles on the shelf behind me that are not.
That is a game collection, Tina?
Yeah, it's a lot of board games. I love board games.
So we know that you love board games. You just love gaming in general. What's your favorite? If a brother wanted to go to a store and buy a new board game to play with the fam, with teenage kids, say, what's a good one?
Okay, so if you're playing with the fam, not too strategic. I mean, are you guys hardcore board gamers, or are you're just having a relaxing time?
Yeah, I mean they're competitive kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 16 and 13. They like a game or two. We play Codenames.
That's
a lot.
What I was gonna say. Really? Codenames would be my family game recommendation for that. Yeah, Codenames.
I don't know the same. This game. Tell me about it.
Ooh, so Codenames, you have two teams, and you can have any amount of people, which is nice. So it also any age level. I play with grandparents. I play with nieces and nephews, and you get 25 words in front of you, and they're all pretty simple words like book, dog, worm, Egypt, like random things like that. And one person from each team goes behind a desk and everyone else is on the other side. And those two people are the code givers and they have to try and get their team to guess which words are blue or red. So you're trying to get them to say dog or multiple words with a one word clue. And then you're trying to get as many clues as you can for that one word. Right. So the thing is, though, it sounds simple, but it's pretty tricky.
Oh, so now do an example round, because you and Rob are playing. I'm just a fly on the wall here.
You see all these. Well, let's see, you're on the other side, and you and Tina are on the same team. She's trying to get you to guess the cards that belong to your team. You just see all these words in front of you on cards.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm waiting my turn. Let's say.
No, it's your turn. I'm the fly on the wall. It's you and Tina. You versus Tina. The death match.
Okay. Yeah. Me versus Tina.
Well, isn't that what it's supposed to be?
It's got to be at least four people.
You got to have at least four. Yeah.
Okay, it's me and Frank versus you and Tina.
Okay, yeah.
Get in the game, Rich. So Frank and Tina are the code givers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's say there's a card that's like dog, there's cat.
Cat.
There's horse.
Horse, did I get it?
And let's say like pony, but pony's the like...
close that door, will you? Yeah. Oh, you can't eat that in the bed. Nah.
I'm not.
See, this is
you
what
are.
This
is you got to go. You got to get a plate.
Luckily, I was prepared. Yeah.
I shouldn't even finish the answer. Right?
No.
Are you ready to listen to the answer?
My pony. Team wins. My team pony? Definitely wins. My team won.
your team definitely wins.
The point is,
pony.
If you say four-legged animal,
no, that's too many words.
Pony. Yeah, how many?
I would say if I'm trying to get Rob to guess cat, you can't say animal because they're all animals. So I would say like one word, feline and something like that. But there's going to be a lot of different ones. Yeah. See, pony. Yeah.
Just buy the game. It's really fun.
You can be on.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I call Rob on my team.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow. Nobody wants Frank. Sorry, buddy. Yeah, don't worry about it.
He'd probably leave in the middle of the game, you know?
Frank?
He's got things to do. Yeah.
He's got snacks to get.
Yeah, snacks to get.
I don't know if you have the attention span for it, Rich.
Oh, I love board games. I am not married into a board game family.
Machete.
The machete does not have...
like board games, does she?
Mm-mm. No, ma'am. She's got something to do.
This woman does not like Disneyland.
She doesn't like. She hates Disneyland. She hates Disneyland, water parks.
Oh yeah. I'm with her.
Freedom.
Yeah, I'm with the machete.
Barbecues.
Eagles.
Bald eagles. And
eagles.
And waves of grain. Chapter hide. She gets so annoyed by the Purple Mountain's majesty.
Yeah.
She's not a board game person. She's not. That's not her thing. And she's right. She doesn't like any theme park. She hates theme parks.
It's a shame because up where they live, I'm assuming there aren't a ton of things to do. I would think that that's a fan. Like, do they like puzzles?
Yeah, my mother-in-law loves puzzles, and Frank and my mother-in-law do puzzles. Yeah.
Okay.
They like puzzles.
Feels like where you are right now feels like a puzzle type of place.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, it is for them. They like puzzles. Like puzzles.
So what do you do all day?
Yeah, what do you do?
What do I do? I just, I knit. I'm making sweaters for family for Christmas.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
Could you start it now? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, beat the rush, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It is, I'd say, like, hobby-wise, I did play golf the other day.
Wow. You did?
Yeah, because Enterprise, Oregon, the town, the neighboring town, has, like, this really charming golf course. Like, so, Tina, a little backstory. Joseph and Enterprise, this whole area, like, Joseph, Oregon is 800 people. And all pretty much everybody here grows up skiing because, you know, I grew up in Nashville. If you skied, if you're from Nashville, you were a wealthy person. You were, you know, I didn't ski in Nashville because you had to fly to Vail.
Yeah.
You know, so, people who were skiers in Nashville were spending big bucks.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, do you want to go shoot hoops at the park? Nah, let's go skiing. You know, like, yeah. There's a little neighborhood mountain that you go up to, and you pay $50 for the year, and you go skiing. You know, rent your gear. So it's awesome. It's a tea bar, but it's, like, really, really cool. Which is, by the way, the only reason why my children know how to ski is because we come up here a lot. Well, I discovered they have a similar thing with golf. It's kind of a very, very cheap, but very beautiful, because everything here is beautiful, golf course. So Steve, who's a dishwasher, my son is a dishwasher at the local restaurant, Embers, had met a kid who also golfs. And so he and Fletcher and his kid have gone to the golf, to the driving range. And that's, like, a fun neighborhood kid thing to do, nice. Which is, like, so cool. Because you think of golf, you think Rob's bocce ball court, you know, you think big money.
Yeah, yeah.
But, but not, by the way, did you ever do the bocce ball? Did that ever happen?
Maybe I did.
I love bocce.
Thank you. It's fun. It's so fun,
it's
right?
Fun.
I know. Rich's prejudice.
No, but, I'm all for it. Just Rob has very elite. No, he has friends who, like, salt of the earth friends, and he has elite friends, and they play bocce ball.
It's not at all true. I mean, when I go to your house for, like, drinks with your neighborhood friends, it's like people having, you know, sifters of bourbon
sifter?
Going.
Sifter? Like, what holds in it?
Sifter? Snifter?
Snifter.
Snifter.
people just pouring bourbon through mesh.
Just to get
the byproducts out.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's a typical burn from Rob Benedict. Ask you halfway through for what? Oh, that's like you guys with the what do you call the thing?
I'm trying to make fun of you for being a douche. What is the
word I'm looking for? Anyway, but no, what, you know, our mutual, the podcast's friend Hank Chilton gave me a bunch of. I've got this front yard that has turf, you know, instead of grass, and so it's a great place to play yard games. Nice. It's very smooth. Yeah. So, he gave me a bocce ball set, just like six balls and that little thing you throw out that, you know, is the marker.
Yeah. The little white ball. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And also comes with this little, measuring tape. So you can see how far you are from it. And then he also gave me, the thing where you throw the bags into the hole,
cornhole.
And they also got me, where you put it's like the same kind of thing, but it's washers. You put washers into a hole.
This one's weird. I've seen that one.
The hole is in a square.
Yeah.
So you can get it in the square for 1 point, or if you get it in the hole, it's like 3 points.
Huh.
And then I got this game from my friend Josh. I got this game that's a Dutch game called Mulkey.
Oh.
Mulkey. Have you heard of that?
Mulkey, no.
It's great.
Yeah, these pins. Yeah, exactly. These pins that there's like an umlaut in there somewhere too.
There's an umlaut. Yeah, thank God. Yeah.
They're these pins that go together, and they all have numbers on them. And if you hit one pin, you just get 1 point. No, if you hit one pin, you get the number that's on that pin, 8. But if you hit more than one, you just get the number of pins you knock over. So ideally, and then when they get knocked over, that you get set them up where they knocked over. So as the game goes on, the pins go further and further apart. Mm. And so you're trying to hit the pin, maybe that's a 10, so you can get 10 points or whatever.
Nice.
Anyway,
is it when you say pins? Does it look like bowling pins? Is that what it looks like?
Kind of wooden bowling pins, wooden bowling pins, but it's a little bit more like a cylinder.
Show me again what it looks like there, buddy.
I'm, For those who are just listening, I'm trying to show with my hands a cylinder, like a cylinder, like a rolling pin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But of course, Richard sees.
The graphics team is going to have a field day with this sequence.
He's pissed in everything I do.
They'll blur that right out.
By the way, I know you're blaming me, but I saw a twinkle in Tina's eye too as soon as you started going. So it's just you. Well, sometimes you have two pins. And you've got both pens.
I always laugh, Tina, because I edit the podcast, then I send it to him, and his notes are inevitably, even this last time, his notes are inevitably like, yeah, why don't you cut out the part where we talk about penis, where we talk about shitting on someone's chest. Maybe we should cut that. Anyway, this last time he was like, if we could just cut out, put a bleep over. So
both times we say it.
So then he calls me. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm looking through the podcast. I'm searching for when we said the word. So I was like,
Rich.
So I was like, I'm looking for. He's like, I bet you are.
Well, get home because we've got work to do. my favorite thing is, it is true. I'll say like, hey, why don't you cut the time we talked about Cleveland Steamers the fourth time?
Yeah.
Like it's always, you know, it's not like once we slipped up. Yeah. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I remember.
We made that incredibly filthy comment. Three's a charm, but after that, cut it.
What were you going to say, Tina?
I was going to say, I remember that episode clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to forget. Yeah. Yeah. You guys are memorable. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Thank That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this must have be like bad acid flashbacks to when you were producing Kings of Con and we were like, you know, having to search for the right shorts for Richard's erection or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then we had costumes to find. So, so.
And I said, April, you've got this.
It was funny considering we had largely female crew.
We did.
And which is good because it balanced out, you know, it brought some class to the otherwise crass proceedings. But it was, it was thankfully, because I think we given to our own devices, our boyish locker room sensibilities, we could have really gone down the rabbit hole.
Yeah,
thankfully, we had tasteful people doing the tasteless things we asked them to do.
You know, Rich, when we were waiting for you, we were talking and I asked her about Corporate, which is the show that Tina worked on after our show and was very successful on Comedy Central. But when I ask her about Corporate, Tina, when I ask you about Corporate, I feel like I'm asking about the boy you dated after us. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be adult about it. Like, so how's Corporate? How are things?
Yeah. Like, not as good. I mean, I missed you guys. I mean, I came back to you guys.
Did. You did.
After him. Yeah. It was just like a summer thing, you know?
I mean, was he ripped? Yeah, he was ripped.
It was different, you know, and that's not good or bad.
You need to have one good lover in your life, and then you come back to us. You know, that's sort of how we didn't Corporate the last scripted show Comedy Central's ever going to have done? I mean, aren't they moving? No, I'm serious. I thought I read an article that they were totally out of, they're doing animation, but they're not doing live action
comedy
anymore.
I don't know if that's the official word. Once Corporate ended, I took a really, really long nap and then like shut off everything. We just made it finishing when COVID started happening. So we were in the middle of post and everything got shut down. And then it became a huge, all right, everyone works from home. Let's set up post offices. And so once we got through all that, I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep for a year now. And not read any news.
Yeah,
good.
Smart.
No, I read too much news, but I don't know if we were great.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said. Yeah.
Or we ruined them for good, and they said never again after working with us. So
I think it's interesting that they're going. No, they were. The article spoke highly of your show. It just said that was that Comedy Central was moving on to animated, but largely animated, which I thought was interesting.
Interesting. I mean, South Park, still happening.
Still running.
Crazy.
Still doing. Wow. Crazy.
Even in lockdown, are they making shows? I guess they can.
I got a couple buddies. I'm sure you do too, Rob, who do animated voices and stuff. They're working,
yeah,
you know, right now. It hasn't slowed down there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Rob, you're a sort of survivor's tale. You went out and did a television show, lived to return. You know,
true. Yeah, we were the guinea pig show back up in Vancouver, and now all shows will follow.
How was that? I mean, I talked to you before. We had a whole episode of pre-quarantine or during lockdown and quarantine.
Yeah, we did a couple shows when we were still in quarantine.
But what's it like now with the rearview mirror on the whole experience? What was it like?
But today, actually, we're doing this podcast on the day where they're shooting the last day of production on that show on Supernatural. And, you know, Rich, I mean, for you and I both, it's been such a journey. Certainly the end was, I tell you, man, it's weird because everyone's wearing masks, you know, and craft service is just, you have to order. So craft service, which was always, you know, a bounty of what, Rich, like M&Ms and
yeah, just,
you know,
snack food
croissants and snack food you can graze, but now you have to order it, so you have to be like, yeah, could I just like get a cup of M&Ms and, you know, one donut please
from Mike, or like you'd go out to the tent?
No, it was,
or
no, it was like a different crew. Mike who's our crafty guy, who's also the set medic, so Mike was transferred over to the COVID crew, which was its own thing.
Oh.
So the other thing is you get tested on set 3 times a week. So there was the COVID van. There are 3 different nurses.
Wow.
Test you. Yeah, wow. Stick something up your nose. So that kind of thing was weird. But honestly, even with that, it was back to work. It was back to work. And it was, you know, it was all our favorite people, Rich, on that set. Yeah, they had masks on and, you know, couldn't touch anybody, couldn't hug anybody. But it was just back to work. And
well, let me ask you this. I know that you got used to it, but was it as divided as you guys thought it would be in terms of pods? Like, did you see the lighting crew, or they would come and you would never see the lighting guys? Like,
no, you'd see them. You'd see them. They just did their own thing, and you know, you didn't talk to them much, but you know, they were wearing a different color than you were, but it wasn't that strict. I still talk to everybody. I always talk to you on that set. You know, the truth is, like, the real lighting guys, you never really saw those guys anyway. They come in and do their job and get out of there, you know.
Yeah.
You're a director, so it's different for you. But as actors, you know, I don't see many of them anyway. But I see the grips, and anybody that would talk to me normally was in my pod. Anybody who has any interaction with the actors,
right,
they're in your pod.
Props and everybody, they're all right there.
And camera, and you know, and Serge, the DP, and I was very, very thankful not only to be a part of it, but to be able to go back up and do it and finish it. And yeah, it was under odd circumstances, but at the end of the day, it still felt normal. And it was actually really nice. This the episode I was in was, it was tough. It was tough. It was a lot of work, but it was, I don't know. We just were thankful every day. Very thankful, you know?
Yeah. That is such an interesting facet to that show. It is the last WB show.
Yeah.
It was started on WB when that was a network.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the last remaining WB show. And then the first show from Warner Brothers to shoot during lockdown. Like, it sort of is cruise through so many, you know, it started WB, no social media, shot on film. You know what I mean? Like, so many different things happening then to now.
Yeah.
All digital, you know, obviously had the lockdown thing, and had, you know, social media is a massive part of marketing, and it's just weathered so many interesting storms. It's just, it's like a tree with many rings of various sizes, given the weather.
It's crazy. You're right. And you know, other shows like ours on the CW kind of look to our show as the sort of beacon, you know, like, oh, if we can, you know, even we know somebody who works on Riverdale. And he supposedly, Rich, what's his name? He used to be our second.
Gabe.
Yeah, Gabe. And, you know, he was like, you want to be like these guys? This is what you're going to have to do. You want to be like the Supernatural guys? This is what you need to do. Like, he'd tell those kids, you know, basically, look at what Jensen and Jared do. If you want to be those guys, you know.
Yeah. So, let me ask you this follow-up question. So when you were done, obviously there's no, you finished your episode, Rob's done, moving on to a new episode. But I know you guys had a dinner, you did some social distancing, socializing in town. But in terms of saying goodbye to like people you weren't going to see again, were you able to do that? Were you able to make a lap? Or like how locked down were they?
I mean, it was all very locked down. I mean, you know, Rich, too, when they applauded when it was my last, after my last shot.
Did Rob? Okay, good. It was funny, too. We lost Rob, and he looks like he's cutting a record right there. He's like he's singing the high part.
Wow.
You know what's trippy? Is Tina, you froze for a moment, too, because I thought, because we were both watching, and I thought, oh, no,
I know.
I'm alone again. Like, I've been...
I like didn't move and I was like, oh no. But now it's just you and me.
All right. Well,
now that he's gone. Oh, never mind.
Dude, we lost you.
Oh no. Now he's in
We still lost you.
Yeah. Much less flattering image.
Oh,
I'm back.
Oh.
There you go. Back. We lost you.
Yeah, I know. That was scary. Scary for everybody involved. So where were we? What were we talking about? Supernatural. Yeah. So happy to do it. Thankful that I had the experience and, you know, just end of an era. I texted Jensen. I was like, that's end of an era. And he was like, it's end of a book. End of a novel. So.
Yeah, man. Well, this is it. This is the podcast that's on happening on the last day of their filming, which is momentous.
One door closes, another one opens, and ours is the Kings of Con podcast with Tina
with me in the basement.
you in the oddly kidnapped. In the
yeah. I'm praying that another door opens so I can get some fresh air and food.
I am concerned about the lack of light for the kids while schooling.
Well, the weird thing is it's tons of light in here. And plus we open the windows, but I close them so I'm not backlit. But on the computer screen, I'm like, wow, they must think Fletcher, because the kids are on Zoom calls all day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fletcher must look like we have him in like some sort of penitentiary.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm going to tell you, the bunk beds don't tell a happy story.
They really don't. Like, the bunk beds are the concerning element.
That's kind of a grisly touch to this whole macabre. I should put like some shackles up here and some splatter.
I like the idea that you're kidnapped and this is your proof of life video, but they gave you a really good microphone.
I'm kidnapped. This is my proof of life video. And look at the guard over there, just like lounging about watching Bob's Burgers. If I make a break for it, he'll tackle me, but otherwise he's very laissez-faire about his assignment. Well, this is the new normal, and I don't mean like COVID normal. I mean podcast normal. We're doing audio. We're doing This is our third attempt at video, or fourth attempt at video, I guess. Our first Tina Dinsmore Bell official podcast. This is exciting.
Exciting,
Tina. Hey, Tina, we're just so blessed to have you with us. So you're kind of in between projects right now, right?
Clearly.
Yes, that's why I said yes. Yeah.
Well, that was good.
Yeah. Your question. We're so glad we got you. So hard times, huh?
Looking for work?
Going right down the pooper, are we?
If anyone out there's hiring. I was actually just hoping this would boost that my resume.
The graphic at the bottom is your number.
Yeah.
My email.
I actually have skills.
Yeah. Here's my agent. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should have a song. Maybe we should have a song for please hire Tina so she doesn't have to do this show anymore.
or please hire Tina with a healthy wage so she finds this charming. You know,
like my fun weekend project.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's what we need. Play it, Rob. Okay. Yeah.
I dabble with those dudes every now and then.
Tina only does this on the weekends, like volunteering for bingo at the old folks' home.
I liked it. Yeah. I'm definitely going to get hired off that for sure.
Good. Yeah. You can have it.
Yeah. You guys are probably going to regret making me that song.
That's what does.
And then we'd be fighting. Why'd you make her that song? It catapulted her. She warned us.
I'm getting interviewed for Oscars and Emmys and all there.
Oh, now Tina froze.
Where I got my start. What?
Yeah.
You froze for a hot second. Yeah.
Not for me. You didn't freeze for me.
Are you guys trying to sabotage me now because you don't want me to get hired elsewhere? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. looks like Tina couldn't do her job. Oh, my God. I guess she's unhireable. Stuck with us. Play the song called Stuck With Us.
Get on the bus. Tina's stuck with us.
There you go.
That's right. Stuck with us.
Good too.
I'm excited about the whole thing. But Robbie and I have been putting some stuff together, and it's loose and goofy and fun, like ourselves.
Yeah. That's right. Loose and goofy and fun. Put that on our
Put that on the bio.
Put that on our resume.
For the tombstone.
The tombstone.
I also noticed, here's something else. I mean, obviously everybody knows, everybody on the planet knows that that out of the three of us, and or out of whatever size group you want to gather, I'm the brake man on the train of progress when it comes to technology. But I'm also looking at this going, okay, clearly I need a light because I look seasick. But I'm also looking at, like, how come I'm the only guy who has, like, a mic that blocks my entire face? Like, Rob, yours is over to the side, kind of like recording artist, DJ. And then Tina, yours is appropriately placed. I feel like, Tina, your monitor is raised up or something. Like,
Listen, guys, everyone knows that you look better if you're shot at a slightly downward angle.
Oh, so, like, I didn't
this isn't
that.
My angle?
Yeah, that's, I mean, was that angle's, yeah, looking right up your nose at your chin, that's a good angle, too.
Good morning, everybody.
No, it's called the prep. You know, so
how's that?
That's a good angle too. I mean, as long as I think it's good for people to see different. Like I said, you know, right. We're bringing in.
There we go.
Rich,
yeah, I was just gonna say, move your computer. I mean, you're the.
I know. I mean, you could move your microphone.
Yeah, you're the director.
There we go.
That's good too. You're the director. Move the camera so you get a good shot.
I don't know how to do it and not have the mic where there. That's the problem. I don't have a boom guy. I don't have a guy going.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got the boom guy. Yeah.
I see it. Your boom like dips in every now and then.
I love that the boom guys are always chewing gum.
Yeah. And wearing that hat with the headphones. Rich is the perfect boom guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm expecting big things for the next one, Rich.
You got it, Tina.
What's that?
It's my boom. Something's my boom mic. I can see my boom mic. Hey guys, remember we had the dart coming in and you thought the dart looked like a Schwanz?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the dart was red with an orange tip.
Ethernet cable? What is that? Oh, it's a marker.
It's a wipeway marker.
This is super fun for the people who aren't watching.
All the more reason to watch.
Well, this
the
is
video.
Why they have to watch. Listen, we forced their hand coming and going, right? Because you're like, you got to watch the video if you want to see Rob mime doing something to a Johnson. And then you got to flip over to the audio if you want to hear the songs that Rob writes about a Johnson, like the song right now.
Yeah.
This is a song about a Johnson.
Great.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to want to miss that.
Right.
No, I know. That's going to sound
now
good
they have to
on
do
my
both.
Album.
You're right.
They have to do both. That's what I'm saying. It's marketing genius because everybody, you can't have too much Robin Rich. Studies have shown. Yeah. Doctors have proven. You can't have too much Robin Rich.
It's why
and
I'm
And so
there.
You get the video element, exactly. Video element with all kinds of surprises, but you got to go to the podcast, hear the audio part with all its surprises.
Yeah, it's
win-win.
It's either perfect planning or very poor planning.
Exactly. We're either geniuses or idiots. Either way,
go to
you're stuck with us. Yeah.
Rich was funny when we, you know, he really can't stop talking about what he's seeing. But when you play it back in the podcast, he's like, you know, cut out the bit where I'm talking about the thing that we can't see because we're just listening to the podcast. Like when it was Jensen's episode, he's like, dude, it's about things that if you can't see, well, you don't have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, there's a long bit and listening to it and it's us snickering and laughing and, you know, ha-ha. No description of the bit, nothing. And you're like, wow, that does not work on radio.
No, it doesn't. You know what's funny is that after everything, you always make fun of me because I always act like we're live. But at the end of the Jensen podcast, he was like, so was that live? Well, he thought maybe we were live.
Which would have been funny since we were pausing for songs that hadn't been written. It would have been really weird live broadcast.
Yeah. I like that he's willing to go live.
Yeah, willing to go live. Risk.
He's got a I'm good to go live persona.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like
into the podcast
clothes hang on him like that, like they just came off the rack. You know, he always looks great. I forgot to shower. I forgot to dress for the event and shit. I didn't know we're going to do it at all, but I'm camera ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, like, and meanwhile, a team of people propping me up and, you know, not the same thing. So he's good to go live is my point. Like he's good to go live, whatever. Yeah. I go live. Let's go live. No, we're not good to go live. Even when we're live.
You need like 45 to an hour.
Yeah,
ooh, that's just to get the gerbil to get the computer going. That has nothing to do with the visage, kid. I mean, like, ooh, that takes a whole other set of hot tongs and towels and scrapers.
Maybe we should give him an hour maybe next time.
Bring in the ice scraper.
Only an hour. I have to admit something, Rich. I'm a little disappointed that you're drinking coffee.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed that it's coffee.
Dude, I was scrambling. I was all set over there to get my beer from Tyler's fridge because that's where I keep the beer.
Right.
I couldn't get the technical part going.
I'll forgive it this time.
I'm over here at my in-law's house. Father-in-law doesn't drink. There's no beer here. So.
I know. I'll forgive it this time, but next time I need alcohol.
I get it. No, I got,
thank you,
this
Tina.
Tina really carrying it.
You could have lied and said that. You could have lied and said that's whiskey.
That's not the relationship we have.
Okay.
That's true. At least
it's a relationship built on ugly truths.
He doesn't care about disappointing you. And at least you know that.
No.
From your side. From my side, it's all lies.
It's a house of lies. And by the way, Tina, kudos to you for bringing the tumbler of vodka. Like, you didn't go with the cocktail glass. Yeah. Like, Rob's got the nice fancy, like you went with the
it's a sifter. Mine's a sifter.
I had a moment of panic of like, shit, what do I drink? I don't like tequila. I don't know. Should I do coffee? No. Okay. I got to do alcohol. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to be, you know, and then.
I'm a little worried about one thing is that you keep saying tequila, tequila, tequila. We're really more of a mezcal podcast.
Oh, I know. I got it. I mean,
and it's different. Have you ever tried mezcal?
It's smoky. I heard.
It is smoking. It's real smoking.
When you say it like that. Have you tried it?
I haven't. I knew this was coming.
Okay, good. We're gonna have a mezcal tasting on a podcast for you.
Oh, yeah. God. We're gonna send over a bottle of good mezcal and you just sip it. You just take a little sip.
Okay.
Maybe even throw in a glass with soda and a lemon.
A lemon.
It's not bad. Let me ask you this, Tina. I have a memory of doing tequila shots with you. Did you not do those with us for my birthday, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes. So that was Alexa, our production manager.
She bought the shots, but
she does this. Yeah, she does this to people.
You didn't do them with us.
I might have pretended to make you happy because unlike Rich, I'm willing to lie to you to make you feel good.
Love it.
Either I had a fake shot or I like tossed it over.
Yeah,
my shoulder.
The old.
But Lex, who bought you that night ending tequila shot. That's probably why I don't drink tequila.
That would have been about.
She was my roommate for years. So.
Yeah, well, we love her, and that was probably exactly 4 or exactly 5 years ago. Because my birthday's in a week.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I remember that we did 2 shots and the second one
tequila
gave me 2 shots.
I wasn't at this party. I don't remember this party.
You hadn't arrived yet. I passed
out. Were you there when Rob was holding the bouquet of flowers?
Was this at Hyperion Pub?
Yeah, Hyperion Pub.
Yeah, you were lit.
Lit.
By the time Machete and I showed up.
Yeah,
it was all Alex's fault.
My goodness,
you had a bouquet of roses or something. I don't know where this even came from.
Well, you had just come from your dance recital, I think, and then what are you? How early in the night did this? Did you
way too early? Way too early. I feel like I was like the first one there because we invited basically all the Kings of Con people, and you know. That's it. You know, that's basically the only people that were there. Maybe Hank and a couple other people. And I just started I nervously drinking as I was there early, and I nervously drank until people got there. And then Lex was like, well, shot of tequila. I was like, sure. And I was kind of happy and loosey goosey. And then another shot. And then I just remember, I don't remember anything after that. I don't remember.
And Lex is the type of person that could talk you into that stuff too. And she's got that. I mean, really follow that woman through the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Only to have her laugh as she watches us burn. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. She definitely, we should have stopped her. Yeah.
So sweet. She has such a sweet face. And yet,
she does. And yet that's where she gets you. But Rob, I think you should turn that story around, not to how early did you start drinking, but how late did Rich show up to your birthday?
That's true, Richard.
Right. But isn't that kind of my signature move?
Yeah, that it is.
And didn't I bring the machete?
You did.
I don't remember.
I did. Because I know, because everybody was much more excited to see the machete than me. Sure, and she was swept up in a sea of Tina and Ellie and everybody chatting. And you know, I was standing there going, I got to go find Mark Evans somewhere and talk to him.
That's very true. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember a thing. So
you had a great time.
You did.
Yeah. It was my birthday, so.
You look good sleeping on that table.
Oh, jeez. How many times? If I had a nickel. I thought about the other time when we went to, when we ran the Tough Mudder race down in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And that night, you know, just I didn't have a lick to eat. Ran this race that just destroyed us. Didn't have anything to eat. And I just, I drank and I just went night-night. On the couch at 8 p.m. Yeah. And the whole rest of the night was, they had this great time. They played songs, they laughed all right around me as I slept through the whole thing.
Yeah. My favorite part was though, like a great sports statistician or nay, even Nostradamus himself, you called it in advance. You're like, well, this run happens and we're going to finish around 7. Rich, I'm worried I'm going to pass out from drinking real early. I'm like, well, aren't you in charge of that? Couldn't you? Like, I mean, am I?
Am I?
You literally called it. You're like, oh, man, if we don't eat, I'm going to power drink my way into an early slumber. I'm like, a couple of steps we could take to, well, forget
yeah. that. Well, I'd like to think that I changed. I haven't passed out or done that in a while, so that's good. Knock on this That's glass good. Of mezcal.
You know what? Do a shot. Celebrate that with a
right
shot.
Now,
with
right
a
now.
Shot. Yeah. Mezcal.
I've learned something.
I'm excited about mezcal night. What we might have to do, Rob, maybe this is a podcast where we'll do a little. I'm just improvising here, kids. But maybe we do like a little bit of a Kings of Con reunion show.
Like it.
And get like Tina, get obviously Lex, you know. She's going to be such a bad influence. Get Ellie and get like Mevins, and then we just all do a tasting. We do like a little like mezcal versus tequila. Let Kings of Con decide, kind of battle royale.
Ooh, I like that. And then it's sponsored by Silver Lake Wine.
Silver Lake Wine, stay drunk all the time. Thanks to Rob and Rich.
Oh hey, come say hi.
Who's that?
Come say hi.
No, the machete.
No, Tina's here.
Yay. Did you hear? She said, no, not if you're doing that.
But
I don't know.
Come on. Come say hi. You're going to hurt Tina's feelings if you don't say hi.
Machete,
come here.
The
streets
are
tiny.
There
she is.
I like Tina. Thank you. Okay, good. Machete.
Hi. This is not my bit. Like,
you do great.
This is not what I do.
You look great. You look great.
Also, like, I've just been working all day.
All right.
You
okay.
Look great.
Now you're weird. Here goes the machete. Yeah. Fletcher just called you right out. Remember Tina? No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. The spades.
The charm of young boys. No.
I like
you. You got JC. Love.
Yeah. No. That's.
Yeah, you asked Machete
really,
to come over.
You want to be on the right side of her, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, whatever.
There's no use.
Well, I think this has been an excellent a test of the system.
Hey.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
it's still recording.
It worked. Good. That's a good sign.
And we're just going to have to go, hey, look, guys, we're going to have technical difficulties, and we'll work through it.
We're going to screw things up occasionally, like accidentally have coffee in our coffee mug, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to fix that in the future.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully not again.
That's my one freebie. And next then, time, Tina will have sent me a light, and I'm going to look fashion model fabulous.
Maybe Rich can move his own mic.
Yeah.
Oh. No? Yeah, like.
Yeah, darn right I can.
Yeah, good.
This guy knows how to set up a shot.
Yeah. Now do you want me to direct your movie? And action.
He's just trying to get you to write him a song to hire him. So.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, please.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Come on, why not? All right. I'll write you a song, Rich.
Nah. The song you write me will be called "I'm Not Gonna Write Rich a Song." It's a bitter irony of the song.
Play that song. Play that song.
Rich doesn't want any songs. At least that's what he says. So I'm not gonna write him this one.
What's true yet not true. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's a conundrum. A catch 22, if you will.
No.
I'm sorry, Robbie, go ahead.
I was gonna say, did you like how I ended with a horse's neigh?
It felt right for Rich. Yeah.
It did feel right.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
He talked a lot about ponies today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's maybe the recurring theme. Right. Tina, welcome to the program. Thanks for being our new essential member.
Yeah.
Robbie, welcome back to the United States.
Thank you.
Yes.
Welcome back to your prison cell.
Welcome. Well, tell my family I love them, and please send a nail file and a cake.
And tell your captors that I really like their mic setup.
Yeah, but next time,
my evil overlord.
Maybe next Frank? Time bring a newspaper so we can confirm the date too.
Yeah,
that's what all good hostage videos have. Yeah,
good point. All the good ones. Yeah. all right, everybody. This is great.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody. This is Rob Benedict.
That's Rich Spate.
All right, that's Rob Benedict, and that's Tina Bell.
That's right. Bye. It's a king's.